And this can be paused, actually. That's nice. Okay, here it goes. We have, theoretically, a bit of ground to cover between today and tomorrow. I would like to already give you a Tuesday to start Chazara. I have sent out all the Bakiyas questions. Some of the people with Yahoo addresses got a rejection, but I think I sent a second copy and you should have gotten it. You got two?
Well, it didn't bounce back.
I thought it told me it bounced back, but okay. Okay, so anyway, fine. So you got that. I will say, after having, you know, not that I didn't know about it, but having done the last part of Ben Sarmar, if we had more time for Ian, you know, that would be a lot of fun to do. It's one of the interesting Gemaras. Did anybody get to Baba Machteres yet? Well, when you get to Baba Machteres, this may be a sheer project trying to figure out the answer to this question. Because you can talk about it with whomever you like, but I'm almost certain to put this question on Bechina, which was, what is the difference between a Baba, how is Baba Machteres different than Rodef? Okay? You'll think about it some. But anyway, I like the question because I never realized the answer for a long time, and then it just hit me, and it was sort of like Eureka. And I think it's pretty obvious, but since I didn't think of it, I think it's a Chiddush. Some of you may just look in and say, what's he talking about? Okay, we're in the Gemara on Daf Tazayin Amud Beis. The Gemara says the Ein Osin Sanhedros. So the Braisa reads, Shlomo reads, well, we'll read it for us. The Ein Osin Sanhedros, or in the, whichever you want to read out of, it's fine. Go ahead. Is it too small and you make it bigger? No. Sorry? Yoni, why don't you start while Shlomo is locating you? So. Okay, so Moshe was Mekom Shem V'Yachad. Fine. So what did the Mishnah say? Ein Osin Sanhedros L'Shvatim. Right, it sounds like each Shevet is supposed to have its own Sanhedrin. A kind of Sanhedrin. What kind of Sanhedrin? Presumably a 23 Sanhedrin. Ron's not here now, but he mentioned the mission Adio speaks about the idea of a Beis Din, of an individual Shevet making a toast in terms of their Horah. So clearly there was such a notion of a Beis Din Shebechol Shevet. I'll talk about that more when I mention the Yad Ramah. But now you have a Braisa, which really theoretically is the Braisa that you start the Masechta with. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, now here's a very important question. When it says minayin shemamid and shoftim Yisrael and shoftim the Yisrael minayin and Talmud Lomar, what is the Bryce's question? How do you know what?
How do you know the whole?
So one way of reading is, how do you know the institution of judges and officers? Or, well, I don't know what you want to call. What's a good word for shoter? Enforcers, right? I don't want to use the term court officer. Court officer doesn't enforce the law. He just enforces the court laws, you know, inside the court. But let's say the judges and the enforcers. So is that what it's just asking? In principle, how do you know? So it says, shoftim titain, shotrim titain. Okay, then read the next part. There's another possibility. I'll come back to that.
Shoftim lechol shevet shevet amalomar shoftim l'shvatim. Shoftim lechol shevet shevet amalomar shoftim l'shvatim.
Okay, so you need for each shevet. Fine. Finally, shoftim. Now the obvious repetition here is what? Or the obvious problem in terms of the repetition is what? Which expression, which part would seem to be unnecessary? Sorry? No. Of these lines, which notion should be unnecessary? Which should be unnecessary, Eitan?
So,
and what are you interpreting shoftim l'Yisrael, shoftim l'Yisrael as? See, if it's just the general principle, notice that's not being derived from any specific word. Shoftim v'shoftim titan l'cha. Now the Torah says, b'chol sh'arecha and l'chol shvatecha. So if that's just a hakdama, that's not extra. That's just it's extraneous in the Braisa, but the Pesukim don't present a concept that really is extraneous. Now, what about in the next two pieces? Do you think any of them are extraneous? Let's leave the first part off for this for a moment. Between Shvatecha and She'arecha, which would seem to be superfluous? Why? Right. Presumably, you have 12 tribes, and each tribe has many cities in it. And if each tribe has many cities in it, so presumably, in those cities, if you have in every city, you also have in every tribe. That is what one would assume. Now, how do you get around this particular problem? There are really two ways of handling this. I don't know if one of them is formulated this way by the Shem. There really are two ways, I think, of handling this. One we've seen already, and I don't know if it was clear that that's what the Ramban was really driving at. But what Eitan highlights is correct. It's an obvious problem, right? Why do you need an every Shevet if you have in every city already? Presumably, every Shevet has cities. Any thoughts? So the Ramban, in his parish that we saw, the idea that you have to have a based in Memuna ala Shevet would suggest that, yeah, you may have a Shevet in every city, but you need a supreme, you need the Supreme Court of Judah and the Supreme Court of Gad and the Supreme Court of Yisachar. You need Supreme Court of each of those, you know, each of those Shvatim. You may have 10 Sanhedros in one, and 5 in another, and 16 in another, but there has to be a high court for each Shevet. Mitzvah b'Shevet ladun es shifto, right? As Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says at the end, l'shvatecha b'shaftu. What is the other possibility? This I know the Rishonim mentioned. I don't remember if it's the Ram, the Adrama, the Veltzwer. What's the other possibility? The Gemara talks about as well. I don't know if in this context, though. They're talking about different. They're talking about in the context of Irni Dachas. Suppose that you had a city that straddled the boundary of two Shvatim. How many courts would it need? If you argue that all you have is B'chol Sharecha, you can have one court for the Shevet. If you argue that you need one for every Shevet, and then every city within every Shevet, so then you might need two courts, one for half the city and one for the other half of the city. Okay? That might be the other possibility. Fine. So now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer,
and this is...
Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda says you need Echad Memuna al Kulam. Now, what exactly is Echad Memuna al Kulam? And here there is a Machlokas Harishonim.
Could be the Sanhedrin.
So one possibility, Ari says correctly, the way I believe Rashi says, is that that's the Sanhedrin al Gadol. Echad Memuna al Gabim. In other words, you have, every city has its court. And every Shevet has its Supreme Court. And then there's finally, those are the court, that's, you know, the district courts, the Ninth District Court, Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, right? That's what you have. And then finally you have the Supreme Court. That's the way Rashi reads Echa Mamuna Al Kulam. Now the question is, if that's the case, Rabbi Huda presumably is not disagreeing. Would anybody say that there's no need for a Beis Din of Shum V'Yachad? Of course not. That's crazy. Now, if that is the case, though, if that's what he means, then presumably the way Shaul suggested reading the opening part as being a generic mitzvah shotrim shotrim, in fact, is the way you have to read it. There is an alternative way of reading the opening expression, which is, and you could gather, what's that? That the first part refers to the Beis Din HaGadol. Shotrim v'shotrim titein. That refers to the Beis Din HaGadol. Then you need a Beis Din on each Shevet. And then, within each Shevet, you need l'sharecha. And that fits a nicer structural flow to the Braisa. But if that's the case, and Rabbi Yehuda says, Echad Mumuna al Kulam, presumably he's talking about something else. If the Tanakhama has already said, Minayin Shemamidim Beis Din HaGadol Yisrael, that's his opening line on top, so then Rabbi Yehuda must be talking about something else. What could that something else, what's that? It's hard to, you know, it's hard to imagine otherwise, because what kind of courts are we talking about here? B'sharecha. What size? 23, right? Even on the Pisgah and the Mishnah, Ein Osin Sanhedros, the Shvatim, you know, would suggest that in the way the Gemara presents it. It's talking about Bati Din of 23. So I would presume it's intuitive that if you have a court of 71, which is the formation, you know, and then you have, you know, other, and that based in, as we know from elsewhere, in Lishkas HaGazis, that they have authority over everybody else. That's going to be my presumption. I mean, it's almost inherent. Yeah. No, why? Well, you have the basis for Leah, but yeah, that's the basis of 71. Then you have Bate Din of 23 in every city. You want to say that he holds that there's no such din as Shelcho Shevet B'Shevet. No, but that doesn't make any, you can't, there's no way of getting around that point that you're going to need B'Chol Ir V'Ir. You need Bate Din. You can't have, the basis of that Gadol doesn't adjudicate. So you want to eliminate the whole Sheva Sheva. I want to see if that was the way the Yad Ramah, the way he might have suggested that. He might actually point it out. And then you have to explain, there's one problem with that. It's a bit strained. Right, I think he says, Rabbi Yehuda says you don't need Shoftim L'chol Shevet V'Sheva. You don't need Shoftim like David is saying. But there's only one problem with it. And he addresses it, but it's a weak answer. He says, what do you do with the fact that Rabbi Yehuda and Hariyo speaks of the base of L'chol Shevet? So he says, even Rabbi Yehuda's know that it's, they can't appoint such a beis din. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what Rabbi Yehuda is coming to say, Echad Mamuna Al Kulon, it could be the Tanakama, I don't remember how he says, Tanakama may be talking about the beis din HaGadol. So what is Rabbi Yehuda talking about then? So if you're going to say he's talking about the beis din HaGadol, then what is he adding? So the answer is David suggests, and that's what the Yad Ramah, let me just see how he says the first part. It's a very short Dibar Masvil. Yeah, so he does say the first part is Sanhedrin Gadola. Okay, the opening part is Sanhedrin Gadola, but he reads Rabbi Yehuda also as Sanhedrin Gadola. But he says Rabbi Yehuda holds you don't need the Beis Din Al Kol Shevet V'Shevet. Ah, but Rabbi Yehuda and Horio speaks about Beis Din, you know, the Beis Din Shalacha Mikala Shvatim. You know, what's the din then? So you have to say even Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's a Rishus, which is strange because. It's more than just the reshus. It means that if you memana a beis din on a shevet, it has a din of beis din shel shevet. It's not just that you have one more court there. I mean, not just that we agree everybody's going to go through that route, but it means for the purposes of horios, it has a shame beis din. Shaul.
So we're saying
Rabbi Yehuda just comes along and repeats what the Tanakhama. No, he's coming by repeating. He's excluding. He's saying, yes, this Echen Mamun Al Kulam, you don't need the intermediate levels of bureaucracy. You don't need the Chol Shevet V'Shevet. Now, there is another possibility of Echen Mamun Al Kulam. Right, so both those that we've read so far, whether you read the first line as being a generic statement, Rabbi Yehuda is now mentioning the Sanhedrin HaGadol, or whether you read the opening statement as being a Sanhedrin HaGadol, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, Dach the Sanhedrin HaGadol, but not the Chol Shevet V'Shevet, that both assumes that Rabbi Yehuda's Echen Mamun Al Kulam is the Beis Din HaGadol. There is another possibility, which Tosis points out, which is that it's speaking about the Mufla Shiba Beis Din. What was the Mufla Shiba Beis Din? I don't know where the Mufla Shiba Beis Din comes up. By Zaki and Mamre, I think it means something else. I forget who says that. Does Tosis say it? Yeah, Tosis says it at the end. Tosis says that the Mufla Zaki and Mamre in that context is two kinds of mufla. That just means someone who's roi lahora. The mufla shebe beis din, what does mufla mean? There are two ways of understanding this word, or they might be related. What does mufla shebe beis din mean? I'm sorry? Nah. What's mufla? Right, I think it means separate. The aleph at the end suggests that it's like a mofes, hafle vafela. But I think that may be related. I think it's like the neflinu on ivamcha. It means the one who stands out, he's sort of separate, right? He's the outstanding one of the Beis Din, the Mufla Shiba Beis Din. This is relevance in Horios, that if Beis Din Paskins and the Mufla Shiba Beis Din wasn't there, then their Pesach is not a Pesach, and therefore you don't bring the Karban, the Parhel, and Davar Shul Tzibur. Let's read, I'll read Tosis quickly. Echad Mamun Al Kulam, Perish HaKuntras Beis Din HaGadol Shiba Yishalayim. V'lo Mash Mahachi B'Sifrei D'Bereisha D'Bereisa V'asa Shotam L'chol Yisrael Katani Rabbi Yehuda Omer Echad Mumun Al Kulam Kodem Shehutzka L'chol Shevet Shevet L'chol Ir V'Ir. So in other words, it sounds as if it sounds as if Rabbi Yehuda is not relating to the Kulan. In other words, the whole point of Echan Lunal Kulan is we have all these Batei Din right before us, the Shevet, the Arim, so we have Echan Mumuna Kulan, based in Mumuna on all of them. But if it comes before all those, what's the Al Kulan? What is Echan Mumuna Al Kulan if you haven't mentioned what the Kulan are yet, the based in Shemachol Levi Yir, Shemachol Shevet, Shevet? So the Tosa says, V'yesh Mefarshim Be'echan Mumuna Al Kulan Mu'anasi, the Tani B'Tosefta Shanasi Yoshe Be'emtza. It's also, I don't know if remember, it's the Tosefta later, in the Yerushalmi it's quoted here. The Nasi used to sit smack in the middle of the semicircle. Vinila Mefaresh, so that's the Nasi. The Nasi is sort of a, I don't call it, titular position, titular position, whatever the word is. But the Nasi is not necessarily the most, he's the one in charge, he's not necessarily the most outstanding person. There are two different categories here. Then Tosa suggests Vinira Lefarish to Echad Mumun Al Kulam Hu Mufla Shebe Beis Din Av Beis Din Uvecho Shoftim Shoftim Hayi Sham Mufla Ki Da Amar Ga Beis Zok In Mamre Hu U Mufla Shebe Beis Dino. Where is that? That's also in the Tosafta later. That's what Tosa says. Echad Mumun Al Kulam means every Beis Din has a Mufla. Every Beis Din has the most outstanding figure and he's sort of above the Beis Din. And then he says that Vinira the law I may cheshbon Sanhedrin with the Kamar Perakama, the Hariya Sahid Tznan, Horu based in the Yada Achamem Shatau, Oshalahia Mufla Shil based in Shampater, Mefarshim, where are the Fisha Hayalahem Shayilmadu? The Iav may cheshbon my Iriam Mufla, Filo Echam Nacher, Nami, Kidamahasam, Elmine. So that you need the entire Sanhedrin to be present in order for the Psach to be a Psach. So Tosa says, how can the wise the Gemara have a separate Rasha if the Mufla wasn't there, if the Mufla is part of the cheshbon of the Beis Din? Then he's like any other member of the Beis Din. Tosfos says a new category, somebody called a Muflash of the Beis Din, who's not part of the Beis Din, he's in charge of the Beis Din, but he's not one of the numbers of the Beis Din, and he stands apart. Then you have to explain if there is such a category of a Muflash of the Beis Din who's really set apart. He's not, he may be outstanding, he's not Mechesh from a Beis Din, then apparently the Gemara in Horios that quotes a limud that you need the Muflash of a Beis Din there to be a Psach only follows Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Okay, and then Sholi makes you a point that the Muflash of a Beis Din in the context of Zakin Mamre means something else. It means a Mufla, in order to be a Zakin Mamre you have to be a Mufla, meaning you can't be a Talmud. You have to be Higiyah Lahora already. Okay. So those are the, really, Tosus introduced two possibilities, the Echad Mamun al-Gaban, one is the Nasi, and the one he prefers is the Mufla Sheba Beis Din. But in the process, he creates an entirely new category of a member of the Beis Din.
Would the Mishnah have been aware that the Beis, that apparently the Beis Din HaGadol required this separate Mufla? Because if the point is that you can only establish the Sanhedrin al-Pi Shivim Be'achad, right, so who's to say that the Mishnah was aware?
I'm not sure. Are you asking me how the 71 is calculated?
And if we only need 71 to set up the Sanhedrin for the Shvatim, right?
Right.
So,
well, it doesn't say we only need to. It says we need based in Shvatim V'Yachad. So you could argue that if the Mufla is number 72, so it means the based in Shvatim V'Yachad means plus its presiding dignitary. You could argue that. That's if the Mishnah holds like Rabbi Yehuda.
Or if he himself says that.
So he says, but he would say that there's a Mufla on top of that. Who's not Minacheshbon.
There's
a Ron somewhere. I'm sorry?
So he's agreeing with it like the time, but
so the Ron doesn't.
That way, the
so for that reason, Sho, you're right. What boils down to potentially, for Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim both agree that there are only 71 Dayonim on the Sanhedrin HaGadol. The only question is how many voting members are there? Are there 70 or 71? But it's for that reason, Shaul, that the Ran doesn't like this interpretation. Precisely that. Because the Ran says, the Ran, right here, writes that, he says, "V'lo mechuver le'apirushim din came rabbanon v'ri lo pligu elam amufla hu minyan ayin aleph olo avokulan tzri le'dahayu ayin aleph im amufla the halo mashma hachim asnisan lepikach nira le'dachah kamer like Rashi, I'm sorry, like the first pshat in Tosfos echad mimal kulam hu anasi ki hu yimna sanhedrin mechol le'vi'ir v'hu mechlal ayin aleph imishum hachim amar kara titen." Okay, that's the singular. That's titan lecha b'chol sharecha. One person is the one appointed to the Sanhedrin, namely the Nasi. So that's why the Ran rejects it. But yeah, according to the second interpretation in Tosos, the mufla only machlokes to Rabbi Chachamim would be whether mufla votes. But everybody agrees that effectively there were 71 people, and it either 70 or 71 voting members. So it leaves us really with four interpretations of what Echa Mamuna, call three interpretations, but four possibilities in how you read the entire Braisa. But either Echa Mamuna Al Gabon is the Sanhedrin Al Gadol, and that could either mean that the Chachamim, either Lafuke the Shvatim, or he doesn't disagree at all. He's just adding that which the Tanakhama didn't speak about yet, namely the Sanhedrin Al Gadol. That's two possibilities. Third is possibility for Nasi, and it's speaking about the Nasi's powers to be the ones he specifically is in charge, administratively appointing the other Batei Din. And finally, the possibility that the Echad Mun Al Gaba doesn't refer just to the appointment, but refers to the Mufla Sheba Beis Din. And you have this new category, so the way Tosfos reads it, of a Mufla Sheba Beis Din being not a voting member, but simply the outstanding member who no longer votes. Okay. Fine. Okay. Ain't Osin Ira Ani Da'am Rabbi Shimon Emeli Alomer. Go ahead, whoever was reading, Yoni. Okay. So he says, Mitzvah B'Shevet L'Adonu Shifto. If you read him as a response to Rabbi Yehuda, then that works very well with the interpretation. Then he really is holding like the Tanakhama, effectively. He's either adding to the Tanakhama this idea of the chief basin of Shevet, or perhaps even more specifically, he's responding to Rabbi Yehuda the way David wanted to read. Rabbi Yehuda said, you don't need a Supreme Court for each Shevet. One Supreme Court is enough. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, Mitzvah B'Shevet Ladan Hashifta. That's what the Shvatacha tells you. Okay. Good. Moving on. Minoha Nimili. Wise, you want to read for us?
You never get, I think, the range of the vision.
Okay, and as we saw earlier on Daf Tazayin Amin Aleph, so even when you don't have the din of an Irani Dachas because you have more than Rubash or Shevet, let's say, more than 1,000 people, whatever it is, it still may be you acquire Sanhedrin Agadol. According to Ravina's Maskana, it's just that you don't have the din of Irani Dachas. You don't turn the city over, you don't give them Sayyid Mamonim's not Avad, but you still need, it's a major national matter, and therefore you need the base of Haggadah. Okay, now continue. Okay, my time I'm Ikir Bechamar Achman of Alom and Hasfar. Now, what's the real reason why you don't make any? What is a Sfar, firstly? What's that?
Border city.
Right, it's a strange word. I don't know where else this word is used like this. Sfar. I mean, it comes to mean that way. A border city. It's usually that I'm aware of in the context of war. So you can't make a city. So what did the Mishnah say that you can't make an Irani Dachas Bisfar? Why not? Would you say? You're making it vulnerable, right? Shema Yishmu Nachman V'Yachvivus Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to do the last part first. So what is the price that says later, my time, huh? Shema Yishmu Nachum Yachvivus Eretz Yisrael, the bottom. Let's put this down. At the end of this piece, one second, okay. Shema Yishmu Nachum Yachvivus Eretz Yisrael. So what does the Gemara say there, David? V'tefuklai. Rabbi Shimon, the Darish time of the Kara. Very interesting. What does it mean, Darish time of the Kara? I hear the voice of my Rebbe there. Okay. So whether the reason for the mitzvah can regulate the application of the din. Okay. Let's say I think I know. I say I know the reason for a particular mitzvah, and I want to say that since the reason doesn't apply, the mitzvah doesn't apply. So this language, by the way, is the language of the Stam, this Darshin and time in the Krah. Now, I haven't researched it. I know Rabbi Clapper has spoken about this issue. He has asserted that this is a stamina construction. I don't know if it's true. I'm not arguing. And when he used to say it, I argued. Now, maybe I'm not as pious as I once was. I'm thinking he may be right. But I'm not so sure. But anyway, that's a topic for further EO, and it's not going to be ours. So I just want to make a couple of points in this context. Tosfos in Gittin writes already, and some of the Mishnayos sort of hint to it here. It only matters, the Machlokas of Darshin and time of the Quran only really matters when you're going to argue about a halacha because you want to say it doesn't apply since the reason doesn't apply. Simply to be Darish time of the Quran, to give reasons for mitzvahs, so that is not fundamentally controversial. Chazal do it all the time. That isn't the issue. This happens to be a case, by the way. It's strange. The Gemara says it's Rabbi Shimon. It's not really Rabbi Shimon. Everybody agrees that's probably the reason. It's very nice. Rabbi Shimon would hold that if we're on the boundary, you know, is there an afkamina? Maybe it's an afkamina if it's on the Yama Gadol, if that's called the Sfar. And it's not called the Kirbecha, but let's say there are no Goyim who can come by sea. It's not a vulnerability, so maybe there'd be an afkamina there. Maybe that's what the Gemara assumes. Whereas if you hold it's Xeris Akasa, the Kirbecha, and the Lovan Asfar, so then it would apply anyway. Alright. Right, but now, then you have to get into a question, you know, even given the modern day experience, you know, one wonders how much, you know, whether the peace treaty is worth more than a piece of paper that it's written on. I think it's a general rule in life. It's true in all sorts of areas. I think it ranges from the private to the public to the communal, very often the agreements aren't worth the paper that they're written on unless there's something else to back it. And I think there's, unfortunately, that is the reality of the world. In the obviously current context, I don't think it takes a genius to see that if it weren't for the large amounts of financial aid and the large amounts of military force, I'm not so sure how much the peace treaty with Israel's southern neighbor would be worth. Right? I mean, one just looks at the Matthias. I'm not making that as a political statement. One never knows, but you know, Chachamei Navi Rosho. I raise that simply as the question of how much halacha would recognize a peace treaty. When you look in Tanakh, by the way, treaties were meant to be broken. Right? You know, when Asa, we just saw this pasuk in the Yerushalmi. Asa was the one. Basha was the Melech Yisrael, and he started building fortifications against Asa Melech Yehuda, and Asa basically bribed the king of Aram. To go, he said, "Bris beni benecha uvein avi ben avich," or something. Lech haferas brischa es basha melech Yisrael. You know, v'yala me'alai. Go break your treaty with him. So he bribed him. That's the way it worked. It's almost the way it worked in the biblical world. Treaties were meant to be broken. It was the highest bidder. So I'm not sure the world has changed. So how the halacha would, in light of the Tanakh evidence, how the halacha would regard in this context such a notion of I said far, where it might be physically impossible, not today, but once upon a time. What about in the context where you have a bris with the treaty? So I don't know what the halacha would say about that. But you're right. In theory, it could be. If halacha was willing to take the call the naive view of those treaties, so then you might be right. Shaul?
So we're saying the practical difference with having the whether or not there's a practical halacha.
Normally, the only machlokas is when there's a practical you know, halachic application. Tosfos in Gittin, the Gemara in Gittin there in the beginning of the fourth parak says, why do you collect from Idis for a mazik? So what's the answer to the question? Why does a mazik collect from Idis? From Idis? The answer is because Dr. Torah, Metasa de Metakam Aishalem. The Mishnah says that Nizakin Shaman Lahem be Idis. Why? Anyone know the Mishnah in Gittin in the fourth parak? Ifnei Tikkun Olam. The Gemara says we made Tikkun Olam. The Torah says Metasa de. So at the end, a long, very important sugya, the Gemara says, it's Rabbi Shimon that says that Shin time of the cross. He's giving you the reason why. It's the Tosfos says there already, Lanzakta doesn't have to be Rabbi Shimon, because everybody agrees that if there's no nafkamina, it's Darshin time of the cross. Where is there an nafkamina, Darshin time of the cross? I want a good example. All the examples of the Gemara are counterintuitive. Oh, the Gemara, the classic example is by the Isser of taking a mashkum from an amana. You're not allowed to take a mashkan from Amana. It's an Issa Daraisa. So what if she's an Elder Marcus? She's an Amana Ashira. She's plenty of money. If you take one pair of her shoes, she's not going to know the difference. Right? She's worn them already. She probably never wears them again. I don't remember. Does anyone remember? Some of you remember Elder Marcus? That was a long time ago, wasn't it? She had, thousands of pairs of shoes in her closet or something like that. Okay, some of us couldn't fit them in our house. But, no. So Imelda Marcus, you take a pledge of her shoes. She knows the difference. They don't know. So the machlok is kind of common sense. Bein amana echad amana achsamana shiv achsamana ania makes no difference. You're not allowed to take a chavala. And Rabbi Shimon says, I think it's in the Brisa, not in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon, in the ninth passage of Amasiyah, says no. Daska and amana shiv. We understand why. And daska and amana ania. Amana ania is exposed. She's vulnerable. Amana shiv doesn't know the difference. So the Gemara suggests the machlokus is based upon Darshin and time of the Krah. Right, how do we paskin, by the way? Not so pashut. The Rambam, over here, the Rambam quotes this reason. He says, you don't make an iridachas v'sar because Shema Yishmu Nachram v'yachmigu l'seret Yisrael. So the Kesh of Mishnah writes, he doesn't understand why the Rambam quotes that. The Rambam holds lo Darshin and time of the Krah. He doesn't say how he knows that. He says, lo Darshin and time of the Krah. So it's not maybe because it's not after me the Rambam quotes the reason. But actually, if you look, the Chazanish points out that the Rambam is Soser himself in different places. If the Gemara suggests that the Gemara says you're not allowed to be motzi two paros at one time, two paros adumos, and you're also not allowed to be mashker shtei sotos ka'achas. So the Gemara says why? So the Gemara quotes a machlokas. One sheet that quotes a pasuk, let's say by Sota, that says v'hishka osa, or there's some miut osa v'loes chaverta, and the other one says that shelo yehi liba gas v'chaverta, that it shouldn't be because of her friend who's not admitting, she's really guilty, but she won't admit because she doesn't want to lose face, at least lose face of her own volition. The mesota may make her lose face in a different way. So the Gemara says, what's going on? The Gemara says machlokes Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, whether there's shirin time in the Krah or not. So when the Rambam quotes these two dinim in Mishnah Torah about ein mashkin shtei sotos kachas and ein motzin shtei paros kachas, which is again the same machlokus. One is if exeris akasa v'hotzi osa v'lo aschaverita, and the other is that people will say, if people will say that they're burning the black parah, they're burning one of the other parahs too or something like that, and the nafkamina was I forget what exactly they come with nafkamina. So the Rambam, in one of these places, he quotes the Gzeiras HaKasha, and one of the places, he quotes the reason of the Gemara. It's not clear exactly how the Rambam paskins. And this may also get into the Stam question. This goes back to the point I mentioned earlier. Since there's always, you can look at the din, these are din and have no nafkamina. What's a din that has a nafkamina? So, Aman Ani Aman Ashira, the Rambam paskins, I believe, even an Aman Ashira. But if you look in the Perish HaMishnayis, and the Rambam gives the reason, he doesn't say it's Xeris HaKasim, he says it, Nesha Atam Asiyah Shem Rabbi Shechein Yusel. If you're going to be going in every day to take the Mashkon, you're going to give her a bad name. Why? Unfortunately, Maisim Chayim, read the Jewish Week in Dear Molly, and you'll see from this last week. You see, so you have guys coming in and out, and it looks bad. People are going to say that she's sleeping around. And therefore, it doesn't matter whether she's an Aman Ani or Aman Ashira. But if that's the case, if that's the reason you give, and that's what he says in the Perashim Shnayis, so then it's not necessarily the machlokas of whether she's in time of the cry. It's that the Rambam holds that there is a reason that applies. The reason of Shna'ata Masiya Shem Rabbi Shem Yuseha, which is not he didn't invent it, the Gemara quotes this, that applies by Aman Ani or Ben Ashira. Now, the machlokas is not about whether she's in time of the cry. What's the machlokas about? What is the time of the cry? All right. You also have, by the way, the reverse phenomenon. This is very strange. A king's not allowed to marry how many wives? More than 18. I understand, Rabbi Osai, that this weren't wives like wives today. But you can't be married to 18 women. You can't be married to 18 women. It's no such thing. It's not marriage. I mean, you can have kedushin with 18. You can have kedushin more than 18 women. But you can't have real marriage. For us, it's impossible to envision a marriage of more than one woman. But you could see a hechatimsa to women, you know. Chazal sort of said more than four was really not appropriate. So these are political marriages, these are marriages of convenience, whatever else. It's not real marriage. But halachically, it's marriage. The king's not allowed to marry more than 18 wives. Yeah. So let's say he has 19 sitkanios. Why can't he marry 18 wives? They're going to lead him astray, right? Like Shlomo's wives did. So what if that's Tidkanios? So the Mishnah quotes the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda, said he can marry as many as he wants. Ufavat shelo yehu mesiras asliva. Rabbi Yehuda says this. Rabbi Shimon says no. 18, I even like Avigail, I think it is, can't marry more than 18. So what's going on? The Gemara says Everything backwards. The Gemara says, no, you know why? Because the Torah tells you the reason here. Because the Torah tells you the reason here, the poles flip. Rabbi Yehuda, logically speaking, holds that normally lo dashin in time of the Kra, because you don't really know the reason. You can't be sure. And therefore, when the Torah tells you the reason, so now you use the reason to regulate the application of the din. But if, according to Rabbi Shimon, well, we could have figured out the reason on our own. The fact that the Torah tells you the reason means that the Isser is a blanket prohibition and it's adding something else. Rabbi Shimon says, afil achasim is seriously fun. No! 18 is an absolute limit. The fact that the Torah gives you the reason tells you that even in less than the din, when the reason applies, you still apply that there. Now, you could have envisioned the position which said that Rabbi Shimon holds, no matter how many you marry, if the Mesiris is Libo, us or not Mesiris Libo, not. But that's the way the Gemara presents that. Once the Torah tells you the reason, when it didn't need to, it means that the din applies no matter what. So how does the Rambam Paskin there? Paskin's 18 straight out. Okay, so that's the case where he seems to follow, you know, Lo Dashin and time of the curve where it matters. But they point out it's just not entirely clear, you know, where the Rambam comes down on this. I should mention one thing I'd like to mention very much, Halacha L'maisa, or explaining Halacha L'maisa, the Ramah, the last Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, I believe, cites the practice of going around dressed like a woman on Purim. So the Acharonim were very, very, very opposed to this practice. Who was Matir? Deutsch, you're smiling on this. Have you been dressed as a woman on Purim? Yes, I have it. Suddenly I have a picture in my head. So they scream about the Ramah. But the truth is, the Ramah is correct. Why? Because the Torah says that you're not allowed lo yech le gerba al yishev al yu bas gerba esim lach isha ki to avas Hashem el kecha kol osei ele. You look at Rashi in Chumash, Rashi writes lo asar makasav el aderech poeva, meaning only when it's done for the purposes of niyu fiyerva. That's what Rashi explains. So probably whoever, I don't know who the Rambam quotes as the source, understood that this is a case where the reason for the prohibition is explicit in the pasuk, and therefore when it's not done derech toeva, I mean it's not done toeva usually, most cases associated with some sense of erva and avodah zarah, when it's not done for those purposes, then it's mutter. So when it's done for stam leitzonis and there's erva involved, then it's mutter. It violates one's my Lithuanian soul, and I never have and probably never would, but lechor the Rambam is correct. Okay. Anyway, coming back to our Gemara, so that's the Dashin of the Krumbit. That's really a side show. So now the Gemara says, continue. V'lo shalosh. V'siv. V'achas arecha. Now, you have to realize here that even though the printers of the Gemara didn't do a very good job, because really what you should have, where are we? Where am I? Go back. In your Gemara, you don't have two dots, but these are really all piskot of the Mishnah. Right? So, v'lo shalosh, t'chsiv achas. Okay, now the next piska. Avalosin achas. Arecha, which is? Plural. How would it be if it were singular? Irecha. Right. The yud, by the way, there is a marker of plural. You have to read that very carefully, because certain many words look the same when you get them in a plausible form. This yesterday's parsha, I don't know why, it's the only place lo seileich rachil be'amecha. By the way, what does the word amecha mean? Anyone know? Yeah, but I don't think that's what it means there. It means family. Plural. La'am nochri la'im sholom acha bevigdaba. Am means family. I think there's an Arabic root like that. You also have v'nesaftar la'amecha gamata. Probably means being gathered in. Where are you buried? Where is a king buried? The Kivros Avosav. By Yosef Elamov. That's probably person was is buried the Kever Avosav. He is Nesaf Elamov. Amov probably means his family. That the latter point about Nesaf Elamov, but you just look in the concordance. The Mishnah, he listed as a separate meaning of Amecha. Okay, and that's usually plural. Happens to be Lo Serech Achil Amecha is the only place where it appears as a plural. I don't know if you can say halachic pshat there. My wife once said, she went, the question is, can you tell your spouse Lashon Hara? Can you tell them the Trevet? Can you tell them your Rechilus? Is it Mutter? For therapeutic purposes. Interesting. How you read the Amecha could affect that, maybe. Anyway, but Amecha, without a Yud, means what? Singular. How does it get to be that? Because Amecha, when you put a pause, what happens to it? You lengthen the vowel, Amcha becomes Amecha. Just like Yishmeru becomes Yishmeru, Kesef becomes Kasef. You either lengthen from a Shva to a real vowel, from a short vowel to a long vowel. So that's, you have to be careful here, okay? But here, Arecha, there's no confusion. It's not confusable, because Ircha or Irecha is the same thing. One is pausal and one is not. They don't change the meaning, you don't send the Bakriya back, but if you're in a nasty mood and you feel like snarling at him, it's okay, because you should have gotten it right. So Arecha is a plural, so you have Achas Arecha. Is that pshat? No, it means one of your cities. It doesn't tell you three, it doesn't tell you not three, it doesn't tell you that you can't have two. It just says, if you catch, it's happening in one of your cities. But the Gemara Darshan is the Achas, not three, Arecha two. Of course, why not say Achas means not even two? Because then what are you going to do with Arecha, as the Gemara will say later. Fine. Tana Rabbana. I'm sorry. Is the Brisa comes now? Yeah. Tana Rabbana. No, Achas v'lo shalosh. The conclusion. Now, Ata Omer. Achas v'lo shalosh. Fine. Now, here's where it gets very tricky. Okay? Let me ask you a question firstly. If you're not allowed to make, who's not allowed to make three Arayid Achas? One base at the same time. Let's read Rav's statement. Let's read Rav's statement. Rav says, Zimnin Amar Rav. The first thing, which I know that ordinarily would be nobody pay attention to, but I think it's worth paying attention to. What is a little odd about this? No, so you're obviously grappling with the more fundamental problem. I'll hold off on that. Okay? Your question already assumed a certain leap of faith, which maybe isn't warranted, at least according to Rashi. Hold on. Okay? But yes, it should intuitively bother you. But what's just odd about the structure of the statement? This business of Rav, Zimnin. Sometimes you would say one way, sometimes to the other. You know what? Great people sometimes can, you know, the mark of a great mind is that he can juggle more opposing ideas in his mind at the same time. You know, sometimes Gedolim don't always give one answer because they can't always be sure. Believe it or not. Rav wasn't always sure. Sometimes he would say one way, sometimes the other. It doesn't say Hadar Be Rav. What does it say? It says Zimnin. Sometimes he would say one way, sometimes the other. In other words, you just could look at it from two ways. Now, what were the two statements? I'm sorry, David, if you read them, just read them. So, Zimnin Amar Rav. Okay, one Beis Din can't make three Arayid Achas, right? But different Batei Din could. Now, what does different Batei Din mean? What does it mean, Shlosha Batei Din? Eitan? It means a new Beis Din, which means another generation. Okay?
Just change one or two people.
Fine, that's another possibility. Okay, but there has to be turnover on the basin. Okay, but presumably, it doesn't matter how much turnover. In other words, if you have some turnover, you can do make three, but one basin can't do it. Now let's look at the second version of Rob. That part's easy, but the second part's what's troubling. Go ahead. Even two and three Batei Din cannot do. What's bothering Shaul? Anything bother you when you see this? Anything? Excellent! Formulated exactly hit the nail on the head. It means that it's a strange kind of mitzvah. You know, the Gemara says it never had one sheet in the Gemara. Right, we should add this. You've seen it in Bikias already, I think, right? Or you should have Daf Ayin Aleph. Where are you guys holding Bikias? I think it's Daf Ayin Aleph. Ayin Aleph, I'm an Aleph. I love this. This is so funny, this Gemara. Ben Sor, Daf Ayin Aleph, I'm an Aleph. The Gemara says, Drosh V'Kabel Tzar Kaman K'Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yonasan was an interesting fellow. he experienced a lot of different interesting experiences. Rabbi Yonason said, I saw one and I sat on his grave. Forget the reason why. Rabbi Yonason, a couple lines later, and I sat on its tail. I sat on its, you know, its churva. And they mentioned one other one, the Avanim HaMnugos, and somebody else comes along and says, I saw a place that they marked as a place where they emptied the Avanim Minugos. Okay? Saras Batim. Saras Batim never happened. Okay, so Irani Dachas, for all intents and purposes, probably never happened. But Eitan is correctly troubled. What does it mean? There are three in history. It's sort of like, you know, God gave us, you know, three candies, or I don't call them candies, you know, and you can use them, you know, these are all we have. That's bizarre. It's almost like a mitzvah l'shah. And what if three generations, subsequent, you know, consecutive generations decide they each have to make an Irani Dachas as an example of somebody. So everybody else can't? Now, what one could have done, which is what you suggested before, both you suggested before, is that you could argue, although this is a very big stretch within Rashi, that there's a difference between if you have a turnover of part of a basin and a turnover of an entire basin. That it could be that the limitation, that in order to have, when we say that you can't make three, even different but they didn't, it means if there's only been partial turnover. You could argue that once there's complete turnover of the basin, meaning none of the original members that made any Irani Dachas, or two Irani Dachas, are left, now you have a new license for this basin, they get a fresh start. You could argue such a thing. which in effect, I believe, is what the Yad Ramah argues. The Yad Ramah writes, I have to tell you, by the way, Eitan, your question, and Shaul, for years and years and years and years bothered me. I mean, I never learned the Rishonim carefully, from Rashi, it wouldn't solve your problem. It always bothered me, this question. And when I was learning Yad Ramah, and I noticed the Baal HaOros spells this out, and it was like, ah, somebody finally asked the question. I mean, finally, but someone did ask the question. The Yad Ramah writes, I ask you to look at this, if you can grab a Yad Ramah from around you, I'll read. Zimnan Amar Rab, the base in Echru, they know, Sanam Shnaim, Shroshabat, they didn't kigon, Shoshasa Sanhedre, Zoshte Arm, they put me Dachos. And they all died and new basin. And now they make a third. Rav said you can do that now. But if you're going to say that, then you run into your problems. That's why he says, now it means basically in one session. I don't know what he means by a session. The basin achas bevas achas. It could be that a basin, you know, I don't know when their sessions end. What's called Bavas Achas? It means one basin in one session, let's say 1 year, cannot make more than, you know, two Irani Dachas. But based in this year, and based in the following year, and based in after that, and based in after that, they could have, you know, running, you know, terms in which they would make Irani Dachas. Yes. It might depend on which Lashon, actually. It might be that Rav Tu Lashonos, in effect, line up with the Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. I don't want to make that assumption off the bat. Okay, that's fine. Right. He's responding to the Mishnah. Even one phase, then, as long as each region, or we're going to see maybe more than that. Just, it's not just each region, it has to do with proximity, even within a region. Okay, I'll tell you what the catch is, though. The problem is something remains unexplained unless you say that Avar Yarden just isn't mentioned. Is why did the bright, if it's a regional issue, why didn't they say you can have three? One even the one in Golan, one Avar Yarden. A little odd, actually. You should have realized that when you read the Brisa. Because you can't make two in Yehuda and two in Golan, but you can make one in Yehuda and one in Golan. What about Avar Yarden? What about a third in Avar Yarden? It's not mentioned. But I would rather than reading Rav like or not like Reish Lakish, let's read each piece independently. Rav mentions nothing about geographic proximity, right? He doesn't say a word about that. He just talks about only thing that Rav's not even addressing that's clear is Tsar. Border cities are out. At least according to the Bavli. According to some readings in the Yerushalmi, that may not be true. So now let's see what Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish says. So we have two versions of Rav. One version of Rav says that the limitation of three is in one basin, but multiple bate din, whatever multiple means, multiple sittings, the way the Yad Ramah presented it in the second shot, multiple permutations of that basin, or multiple bate din, really completely separate, but they didn't. So can make three Eoni Dachas. You just can't have one based in, you know, one generation, one sitting, one identical group. You can't have them make three Eoni Dachas. Why should that be, by the way? Why should it be based in focus? See, you understand Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish discussed geographic issues. That's security. It's a security issue. This undermines, by the way, my general thesis that rabbis should stay out of the business of politics because they're not experts in it. You see that the Tanaim were offering advice in terms of military strategy. Okay, I still think that's so. I don't think this arrived from the Mishnah. But anyway, so why should it be limited by Batei Din? I assume it's an issue of based in Katlan. Right? Based in Katlan, so you don't have one based in being a butcher. But they didn't, you know, decide that, you know, that has to be a limitation. Okay. The second sheet of Rav lends itself more to the other. In other words, which issue here would be a concern of a military issue? Which of these two versions is more likely to lend itself to a military concern? The second sheet, then. In other words, if you say that multiple, what? How long is the Nirei Dachas remain be Isuro? How long? El Yakim, you know how long? How many years does the Nirei Dachas remain be Isuro? Ariel? Any thoughts, Mitch?
Forever.
V'haysa tel olam lo sibane od. So you make something Nirei Dachas, you know, it's a Nirei Dachas forever. What's that? No. It's v'haysa tel olam lo sibane od. The question, the machlokas, if you learn the Mishnayis in Sanhedrin, the machlokas is whether or not you can use the land for vineyards and fields and so on, but you can't build it into a city anymore. That's for sure. So, so presumably, the reason that multiple Batei Din can't make three or more is because eventually all of Eretz Yisrael would be in Eoni Dachas. Now, obviously, that's ridiculous, but you figure after the first one, people would learn, but that's not really true either. But okay, you know, there has to be a limit at some point, but you know, the truth is, there's a lot of land. So if you destroy the city here, you build next to it if you need to. Okay. Now, what do Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan have to say? Go ahead.
My time is
Rav. Sorry. My time. So when we say my time is the Rav, what do we mean my time is the Rav? Which Rav? The second Zimnin. Okay, that's Rav's. That's the only reason for Rav's second Zimnin. Okay, go ahead. What's Karcha? Yeah, what is the word from? Erech, bald. A bald spot. Okay. Or lo yikrechu Karcha b'rosham. Right. It explains the second statement, yeah. Well, no, but I think the way we understood that Karcha is that if you leave too many, you know, leaving. See, if you wanted to argue with me, it's a little strained in Rav. If you want to argue that Rav held Dafka with geographic proximity, then I understand. When you wipe out one town, you know, you leave one area exposed. If you wipe out two towns near each other, you leave a whole wide open range exposed. That would be an argument. But Rav doesn't mention anything about geographic proximity, which is the odd part. Right, the Gemara seems to. If I read Rav on my own, I would read it not as an issue of Karcha. I would read it as an issue of either the concern over the basin behavior, or over the long-term concern of making Eretz Yisrael uninhabitable. See, let's read the next Machlokes. So you see why this reason seems to be taken from Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan and sort of imposed upon Rav, and it's not exactly precise because Rav doesn't mention geography as a criterion. Go ahead. So Reish Lakish says this is really a concern of exposure, too broad exposure. Okay. Ein osin, you can never make any shum karcha. So what does Reish Lakish hold? Reish Lakish says that you can do it in multiple places. Alright, so karcha has to be understood differently. It can't be karcha as a wide open spot. Karcha means bald patches. And that's how you can explain Rav. Because Rav just doesn't want more than two happening, period. Just like Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, Rav's second lashon is certainly just like Rabbi Yochanan. So what does Reish Lakish say? Reish Lakish holds you just don't want really one wide open thing. Now let me ask you a question. Which would you argue is... So Rabbi Yochanan presumably agrees to that as well. Which is fundamentally the issue, would you say? Is the issue next to each other or dispersed? Which is the bigger problem of Karcha? Next to each other, it certainly should be a bigger problem. Certainly should be a bigger problem. Okay. So keep that in mind, because when you we get to the Rambam. So now the Gemara continues. And so that goes on the last part, and then we read the rest. So let's get this straight. The Braisa says that you can't make three Yerani Dachas in Eretz Yisrael, period. But you can make two, like one in Yehuda and one in Galil, but not two in Yehuda and two in Galil. How do you read that Rav Ushtayim by Galil? I would have read it or. That's how I would have read it. Fine, and everything is simple. What's the problem? What is the problem? Before we solve... So the Gemara seems to read straightforward, right? Fine. So machlokas of whether... So karcha is a concern of bald patches. Sfar is a concern of an immediate invitation to the enemy. Okay. What does the Yerushalmi say here? Very funny also. Funny Yerushalmi. Avi, did you see the Yerushalmi yet? Anybody see this Yerushalmi? Shaul. Eino Sinir Ani Dachas. Eino
Sinir Ani Dachas. Rabbi Yochanan Hashem Rabbi Shaya Flata.
So this is, it's not clear what exactly these three are. Do these three contradict each other? Are these three complementary statements? Okay. And the question is, what is he responding to? Is it Ein Osin Iran? The way the Tnei Moshe reads it, it's responding to the line Ein Osin Irani Dachas B'Sfar. So that's the way he read it. The Yifei Naim has a different reading, but since the since Yifei Naim requires flipping around pieces of the Gemara, take a look. Let's read the way the Tnei Moshe does. Chad Amar, one Shita said, one you may make on the boundary, but not two. In other words, when the Mishnah allows, what happens? The Mishnah says you can't make Yerani Dachas B'Sfar, and you can't make three, but you can make two. So what we're saying is you can't make the kind of Yerani Dachas, or Yerani Dachas you can make not on the boundary, you're not allowed to make on the boundary. Not on the boundary, you're allowed to make two, but not three. So on the boundary, you can make one, but not two. That's the first sheet, though. B'charana Amar, another one said, now, smuchos, apparently, smucho in Eretz Yisrael proper, not on the boundary, you can make multiple Irani Dachas. Let's say two Irani Dachas, and you can make them next to each other, you can make them scattered. We're not told, we're assuming you can't make more, you can't make three. That's a no, you can't make three. Okay, you can make scattered, but you cannot make, you can make next to each other, but you can't make scattered. I'm sorry, it's an intrite, so you can make either way, next to each other, scattered. But on the boundary, you can't leave multiple vulnerabilities. You want to have a vulnerability in one place, you want to have two cities in one place. Smuchos, you can do that on the boundary. But Mfuzaros Enosin. I don't know, which would you rather have to defend? I guess if you only have one place to defend, even if it's a little wider, you'd rather do that than having two fronts which are a little narrower. I suppose that makes sense.
Arguably.
Baharana Amar. Now he says you're never allowed to make anywhere in Eretz Yisrael mifuzaros. Okay, why?
Shema yafutsu goyim yavo Eretz Yisrael.
All right, that's one reason given notice, and then. Lidei karcha. Now notice the reason Shema yafutsu goyim yavo Eretz Yisrael is the same as what?
Because
What's that based upon? It's based upon the Tosefta, right? Shema Yishmu Nachum V'yachrivu with Eretz Yisrael. That's the same reason. And what is that given for in the Braisa? What's that a reason for?
Why
you don't do anything on the boundary, which, by the way, would reinforce, in fact, what the Penei Moshe is reading. Shema Yafutzu Goyim Yavol Eretz Yisrael is the reason why you don't make things on the boundary. Mishum Karacha is the reason, even internally, why you don't make things scattered. That's why the Fuzaros Enosim Kalikar. Will it work that way? Yeah, but I think you have to change the emphasis. Mefuzaros ein osen kol ikar means that nowhere in Eretz Yisrael can you make mefuzaros, and consequently, what can you not do on the Sfar? Even smuchos. So if you give the reason Shema Yafutzu Goyim Yavol Eretz Yisrael, that's why you can't make even smuchos on the boundary. If the reason is Shema Yafutzu Goyim Yavol Eretz Yisrael, that's why you can't make mefuzaros in Eretz Yisrael. But the last two opinions certainly differ. They certainly differ whether or not you can make two arim on the boundary, but it would seem that one you certainly can make on the boundary. There are a lot of difficulties. There are pieces that don't fit exactly together in Yushami. What doesn't fit together?
Well, if you say Achas Ayim, Osim Osim.
So then clearly the other one disagrees with that. Right? The first sheet that says you can only make one on the boundary, period. The second sheet that says you can make two, provided that they're proper. The third sheet that says what? You cannot make mufuzaros anywhere. And in Eretz Yisrael, you can make mechunasas, but on the boundary, what's the din? Either you can't make at all, or you can make one. If you say you can make one, if you say that you can't make any, it means you have three different shitos here as to what you're allowed to do on the boundary. The last shita says none. The first shita says one, and the second shita says either one or two if they're together, and it's like one. Okay, so those are the sort of two pieces. Clearly, if that's the read of the Yushami, it's completely different than the Bavli. The Bavli never entertains anything on the boundary. Everything, the entire discussion is within Eretz Yisrael itself. Okay. What does the Rambam say? Anyone know what the Rambam says?
Let's pull up this Rambam.
Anyone see the Rambam, by the way? Anybody else? Okay. Yoni, did you see it or no? Yes? What does the Rambam say? One second. What does he say, Yoni? Why didn't you read? Go ahead. You want to learn the land of Chen, like that you can learn that. Fine. Now, the aim. And notice he quotes the reason, even though early in Halacha he just quotes Gzeiras HaKasef. And maybe he had no reason there, you know, it's hard to know. Okay, then, the aim. Wow, so what does the Rambam say? He says a Beis Din may not make one Beis Din may not make three Arei Nidachas, Ayaros Nidachos next to each other, but if they're spread out you can make. Now, is there a problem with the Rambam? So the Ravid says Amar Avram. Second one. I'm sorry, it's my fault. Aim based in Echad. You get Yehuda and Gal each get one quota, which, by the way, adds to your list a funny dinim daraisa that apply to Yehuda and Galil. Right? And what kind of a din is that? One for Yehuda, one for Gal. The Torah doesn't recognize those entities. We pointed this out earlier. I'm going to say something very radical for the record. I almost feel I should turn the tape recorder off before the recorder before I say it. The more I learn, the more I get the sense that this distinction between the Reis and the Rabbanan was once upon a time a little bit fuzzier than we like to see it in the way Chazal saw it later. And I wonder to what extent Yehuda Begalil is one of these things that fits into this category. The Yehuda Begalil is not a halachic entity from a pure Lithuanian perspective. There's no Yehuda may not only mean shave. If it's not Shevet Yehuda, then, and if it's not geographically, what's the distinction? And what's Galil? David? Neither. I'm just not. I think. My bet, by the way, would be that the Rabbanan had a higher status. That would be my bet. But I'm not sure. In other words, you're going to how many points do you award to the Reis, and how many points do you award to the Rabbanan?
Well, if there's a fuzzy category, you know, if
there's
a fuzzier,
you're going to ask me, you have to ask me specific din, and once upon a time, what was the din of Sveika the Dina? Was it Lechumra or Lechula? Right? So I would argue, whatever it was, it might have been, I don't want to, it's the same for both. I'm seeing too many examples where things that do not seem to fit the Reisa categories, you know, are somehow treated as, you know, as if there's no distinction.
You have a sense when categories get sharper?
I think it's gradual. I think the Amoraim probably had sharper, much sharper categories, if I'm right. And again, it's a chush. I don't know, you know, somebody, this would require an enormous amount of concentrated bakias and thinking about the issues to really come up with any kind of full data set. But I think that I would think it's a gradual process of making clearer and clearer and clearer lines between the Reis and the Rabbanan. I don't know, it may not be so, but I think, you know, it's clearly there to some extent with the Tanoim. They clearly know the difference between Shel Torah and Shel Devarim. There's no question about that. But you know, the question may be, in terms of within Dina and the Reisa, certain kinds of formulations of categories that should be later somehow may take on the Reisa status. And the Ir Nidachas concept is not the Rabbanan. The mitzvah is the Reisa, clearly. The notion that you can have two regions, you know, maybe something that should be the Rabbanan but seems to take on a, you know, once upon a time in a quasi status the Reisa. I mean, it still does. We still accept Yehuda Begalil, and we still don't understand what the difference, you know, why Yehuda Begalil means anything. I still don't have an answer to the question. Okay. Now, but the Rambam Shita is that all you can do is make three in close proximity. The lovely Shita, but where does the Rambam get it from? So it would have to be either the first version of Rav or Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, right? That's the way the Rambam seems to be incorporating Rav's first Lashon and Reish Lakish. What is the problem with that? That's very nice. It fits in the Gemara well. There's only one little glitch. Why does the Rambam Paschal like Reish Lakish? Why does he opt for the first Lashon of Rav over the second Lashon of Rav? If I'm not mistaken, the Chachmei Sfarad's pattern is to Paschal like the Lashon of Basra, no? The Kesef Mishnah talks about this. A long Kesef Mishnah here. Look on the Rambam. So he quotes a Tshuva, the Marik, I believe it's the Marik, of Yosef of Kolon. Well, it's because of a very interesting. I find it hard to buy. I'd rather just say he chose the pasuk like Reish Lakish the way Yoni did, because maybe not because he held like Rav, but maybe because the svara was compelling. Maybe he was bothered by the kasha that Shaul and Eitan had, which is if you're going to adopt Rav or Yochanan's position, then what Yoni Dachas really is a three strikes and you're out mitzvah, right? You get to use it three times and you've rubbed it out. Doesn't make any sense. That may have been why he would have preferred Reish Lakish Shita. But the Marik suggests that what's going on is that Rabbi Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan agrees if two cities are far from one another, for sure you can make multiple Arei Nidachas. What are they arguing about? They're arguing about if there were two cities on the boundary. It's a little strange. I'm sorry.
does he work it? Not the two cities on the boundary. He says like this. He says that if you have one city, if you want to make three onidachas, it's fine according to Yochanan. But you can't have them. You can't have two on the boundary of Yehuda and one in Galil on the boundary right near each other. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Reish Lakish there says you are allowed to have three next to each other, provided they're not in the same province, even though they're right next to each other. When the Gemara said you can't make Shtayim Yehuda and Shtayim Begalil, he suggested that's what was bothering the Rambam, it means that you're going to have three cities. You can't have two on the boundary and one right next to across the boundary. You can only have one and one near each other, provided they straddle the boundary. But if you're going to have them spread apart, that in itself wouldn't be a problem. It's a little bit strained in the Gemara. You know, the Ikar is chaser and asefer, but that's what he wants to suggest, and that's why the Rambam says we don't pass like Ikar Sakhar. We pass like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan only said Hishita in a case where the cities were on, even though you would have thought, since they're in separate jurisdictions, you can therefore make multiple Arei Nidachas. So the Rabbi Yochanan says that since they are smuchos, there is no rishus to do so in any fashion. That's why they want to read the Rambam. It's a little stretched. I think you want to have a better bet the way David said, which is to read it as Paskin like the first Lashon and of Rav and Reish Lakish, and maybe that's why he followed Reish Lakish over Rabbi Yochanan. That would be what I'm inclined to think. Okay. I'm going to stop now. Tomorrow we're going to have a little longer shiur. I don't usually do a Rabbi Rosenzweig, but in this case, when I have to finish up, but in this case, since it really is certainly the last shiur,